You're listening to Scratch Take, a podcast where songwriters tell the story behind their craft. I'm Jeremy Katzenstein. Lauren Tronick is a singer-songwriter who is currently based in Austin, Texas. In this episode, Lauren talks about her love of poetry, the emotion that drives her music, and her impossible quest to write from outside herself.
My name is Lauren Tronick, and I am writing songs for myself under the name Lauren Tronick. I started writing songs when I was very little. I think I have a cassette recording of me singing a song that I had written for my mom when I think I was about 4 years old. It's pretty cute. Oh, I can sing the whole thing. It's really short. I can't believe I'm doing this. And I also can't, it's kind of amazing that I remember it. It goes like this, and it was really low, and I had a really raspy voice when I was little. Mommy, oh mommy, I got something to tell you whenever you're not with me. I feel alone, so listen up, mommy. Stay with me as much as you can so I can be with you. That's where I'll begin, to be honest. A good song has something that you grab onto and keep thinking about. Yeah, so whether that's a lyric that's just really interesting to you that you want to keep thinking about, or if it's a melody that's really catchy and you keep humming it, or a chord change or progression that kind of turns your head that you want to go back and listen to. Yeah, I guess just an aspect that you just want to revisit, that you kind of get hungry for and want more of and want to understand more, or that's just beautiful and you want to keep going back to it. I think the song that I've listened to most in my life, I don't know if this is actually true, but I think it's the best love song that's ever been written, is Joni Mitchell's Case of You. I think it's a perfect love song lyrically. I think it's just superb. And then melodically, it's, you know, she has such a unique voice and such a unique way of, like, her inflections and her dynamics are just so her. And I think that song encapsulates her essence as a singer too in so many different ways. And it has, you know, a wonderful refrain that it's just like astonishingly simple and beautiful. The lyrics, I could drink a case of you and I'd still be on my feet. Like, are you kidding? Yeah, that's amazing and beautiful and has all of the complexities of love and of a relationship. I could drink a case of you, darling. Still I'd be on my feet. I would still be on my feet. You know, it's funny what people say to you about your songs and which ones people say that they really grab onto and then the ones that I grab onto. And I guess I'm just kind of framing it within my very small EP because that's what I've been thinking about recently. And there's only 4 tracks, so that makes it a little bit easier to pick from. But like, so I've heard from people that emotionally or lyrically, Coat is a song that people are very drawn to. But personally, I'm really proud of Promised Land, which is the eponymous song, because I really tried to use my voice to mirror the emotion first. And I ventured into this lower part of my register that I've kind of been afraid of in the past. And I think that I went for it. I wrote the song in an evening, in one night, and then recorded it the next day. And it just kind of poured out I think that song for me, exactly, it felt really natural and really organic. And it was also one of the only tracks that once I laid it down with guitar and vocals, I was like, this doesn't need anything else. And ultimately I put bass on it. But it's interesting because not everybody who listens to the song knows, oh, she wrote this in an evening and recorded it the next day. But I would like to think that something about it and something about the way that it just kind of, it just kind of goes forward the whole time, and there aren't any huge changes, and it's almost like a, yeah, like I think that's the word I'm looking for. It's like a meditation.
Hold out. Can you feel it?
I would hope that that's conveyed, even though people don't know the process behind it. And I mean, that's, you know, what you hope for music in general, even though one of my favorite things is to hear someone with their own interpretation. That's just totally different. And I love it. You know, that's almost more exciting sometimes. Exactly. It's so cool. And it means that people feel like they can take ownership of your art. I mean, it's interesting because when I was younger, I used to compose like linear melodies for violin and viola. And so that was its own thing. And I would have, you know, kind of scribble notes on a page. And it was never really that satisfying because it's a linear instrument and it's hard to, I didn't have the mind for full compositions. And I wasn't really compelled to do that. But in ninth grade, my dad had picked up the guitar, and he was just sitting in his office. And I was in ninth grade, and I remember going and getting his Martin out of his office and bringing it into my room and getting his, like, Guitar for Dummies book or something and teaching myself whatever chords I could come up with. And I was driven into it by emotion, I think. I think I'm a very thinky person, and there's only so much you can do with that in conversation or in daily life or in playing instruments wordlessly. And so I think that extra energy and my love of poetry and wordplay kind of drove me to like, this is fun. I love to sing. I can kind of make notes on this instrument that I don't know how to play. Let's see where this goes. And I just remember sitting on my bed and writing a song. And it was called Sticks and Stones, I believe. And I actually performed it at our high school. We had that town meeting twice a week, and it was in ninth grade. And I don't know what the hell got into me, but I look back, I'm just like, wow, kudos for just not being too scared. And I performed it. Just like, I had no idea how to play guitar. I'd never done anything like that before. And I got up there and I played it for everybody for, you know, an entire high school. And then one of the music teachers came up to me after and basically, like, in more words, said, I want to take you under my wing. And he was just like, you know, he heard something or found something or saw something. And then, you know, he was the one that really continued to encourage me to write and use my viola also and use my knowledge of classical music and new music and all these other worlds that I'd been immersed in and push me to work with other people and kind of really dive into the world of songwriting in a more legitimate way. But yeah, that first song, I'm sure it was about lust and love and yearning as an, you know, how old are you in ninth grade? 14? 15? Something like that. But that's the fun stuff, you know? That's so fun to write about when you think it's, everything is, you know, when you're that age, nothing else really, it's the most important thing, right? And you don't have to even feel self-conscious about it because why would you? Whereas, you know, now it's like, stop writing about men. You know, and I, yeah, I think I do. I think I really write from a place of emotion, and very, very personal emotion. My songs are very personal. They always have been. I write from specific experiences and then like real life experiences and then turn them into poetry or turn them into a story or fictionalize them or exaggerate them. I've always done that. I'm remembering a song I wrote in also in ninth grade, I guess. And just that was about like a trip I went on with, I don't know. I just remember very, it was called, oh gosh, Rocks and Gold. Rocks and Gold.
Under all the rocks and gold, we go, oh, oh, whoa, oh, oh.
And it was, I went on a trip to Utah with my high school and then, and like had a crush on some guy on the trip. And then I wrote like really specific moments from that song, but then tried to, you know, put a whole narrative with it and carry it forward or, but it still came from a place of my emotion and I don't, you know, and I still do that. And it's really something that I'm actually trying to break out of. So my latest thing was trying to write as a character, like somebody who's completely outside of myself. But I don't think I have yet to, I still don't believe that you can ever really, like no piece of fiction is truly fictional, right? I don't think it is.
I do not have a sister, nor do I a brother. I'm left with too much soul to give to another.
So for example, Emily, the song on my track is kind of, I mean, on my EP is a story about a girl, and the girl isn't me, but it's somebody else in my life. It's fictionalized and it's changed. I switched the gender and I kind of played with the scenario, but it's still coming from me and it's still, I don't know. I really want to try to find poetry in more than just my own emotions, and I have a really hard time with that. So I think I've written from the same place always.
Leave the rest for me. She said farewell. I said no one says that anymore. I'll go home. And that's all right.
I suck at guitar. I can't play guitar, really. I mean, and people are like, yeah, you can play guitar. I really can't. I don't know. I just can't wrap my head around the theory, and that frustrates me because I'm so, you know, I'm classically trained on violin and viola, right? So my whole background has been this linear instrument, and, you know, yes, I've taken music theory. Yes, I've done this, but I can't play piano. I've never done that. And so guitar is like this little box I feel like I'm inside of. I can pass, right? I can play enough that I could record an EP and not have anybody else play for me. But I'm so limited in that if I hear something, I can't make it happen. So I feel really limited by, I think the hardest part of songwriting for me is the chord progression behind the melody and the lyrics. Like the lyrics and the melodies are fine. I have a note on my phone that's pages and pages and pages long of lyrics, and melodies are coming in and out of my head all the time. And I think I attribute that to, again, to learning a linear instrument, and singing forever. But like, man, when it comes to guitar and the chords behind it, it's frustrating. But once it's there, I hear arrangements, which is fun, but it's that first initial figuring out what this should be, not because I don't hear it, but because I can't execute it. Oh my God. You know, I've gotten the two pieces of advice that are just exactly the opposite of each other. And they're constantly what I struggle with. And that struggle, I think, is where the most amazing, the songs I'm proudest come from. And that dichotomy is simplify. Like whatever you're trying to do, just keep it simple. And then the opposite is follow your really weird gut and run with your really weird ideas. And I think that battle and getting those two pieces of advice will be my eternal struggle, because I think I tend to have songs that have many different movements or seem kind of windy. I think like Princes and Kings is the track on my EP that I'm the most proud of and the most unhappy with.
Case would knock me flat. Oh, but I drink what I can. What kind of shape are you in when it's not that?
There's so much more that I wanted from it because I hear so much, but it's kind of a weird song, and it's like, it doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes, and there are kind of different pieces, and it sometimes does have too much going on, and so I did end up paring it down a lot because that other guy on my shoulder was saying, calm down. But then I played it for some people, and they said, you know, that's the most promising song. You just didn't go for it enough. So I think that that little battle between simplicity and then and experimentation is... getting that those conflicting pieces of advice had been very forceful for me.
You're still not old enough to avoid.
Thanks so much to Lauren Tronick for coming on to Scratch Take. Visit scratchtake.com for a link to Lauren's EP, The Promised Land. You'll also find a complete playlist of all of the songs featured in today's episode. And finally, if you like the show, make sure to subscribe on iTunes for more deep dives into the minds of songwriters.